A few people waiting in line to get prescriptions at the pharmacy is a problem for those people. People waiting in lines at many pharmacies and pharmacies closing to boot, well, that's potentially a problem for a whole industry. And people from inside the industry are in the process of documenting what's going on from the perspective of the other side of the pharmacy counter. Two pharmacist doctors, including an Oregonian, are among the producers of the planned documentary Harmacy, as in pharmacy without the P. Dr. Anais Webster-Manuti lives and works in the Eugene area, is writer, co-director, and producer. Welcome, Dr. Webster-Manuti.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Kristen Spear, Dr. Kristen Spear is with us as well, the other pharmacist and writer, director, producer of Harmacy. Thank you for joining us, Kristen.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
So, Anais, what is the status of the project at the moment?
Yes, that is a great question. So we are currently in late stage development. We are getting the rest of our financing secured. We are talking to folks within the film industry to make sure that we have the appropriate funds to make sure this gets completed and make sure that we have ties to make sure this gets distributed to as wide of a general audience as possible.
The original title was Would You Like Shots With That? Talk about the genesis of the project and the title change along the way.
Definitely. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. So the original title was Would You Like Shots With That? Because during the COVID pandemic, it sometimes would feel like, oh, I work in a fast food restaurant and I'm having to give all of these vaccinations. But with that being said, we want to be able to give vaccinations. We want to be able to protect our communities. But when it shifts from a patient-centered healthcare model in pharmacy to one that is based upon metrics, it starts to feel like you're working in a fast food restaurant. So that was kind of the tongue-in-cheek original title that we had come up with. We also knew from the beginning that the tone of this documentary would be kind of fun, satirical, because we knew we would be talking about some heavier topics and we want to make sure that we keep our audience engaged. So that was the genesis of the original title.
Okay, I get it. Would you like shots with that? It's like, would you like fries with that? Okay, now it all clicks. How long, Anais, have you worked in pharmacies?
So I first started as a technician while I was in pharmacy school. So I started back in 2013, so just over a decade in pharmacy, and I have been a pharmacist since 2016.
Over that time, did you watch the working conditions change?
I did. So when I first started as a technician and a pharmacy intern, it was like a well-oiled machine. I worked at a large retail chain. It was a very busy chain. We did over 700 prescriptions per day, and we were able to get the prescriptions filled. It was a pretty happy work environment. But then I think it was around 2015 is when I noticed a pretty big shift. Hours were starting to get cut at that store. That wasn't just our store. It was kind of across the chain that I worked at, as well as other chains as well. So there started to be a shift several years ago, and the shift has continued to change from that point on. And as we've spoken to pharmacists who have more experience than I do, they started to see some of these changes maybe even decades ago.
We're talking to the pharmacist doctors Anais Webster-Manuti in the Eugene area and Kristen Spear. They are co-producers of a film called Harmacy, yet to be completed, but in the works for a while now. You can join us with your thoughts about pharmacy care, or the lack thereof, if you see it that way, with your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Kristen Spear, how long is your time in the pharmacy biz, and what have you seen in changes along the way?
Yeah, I've been in the pharmacy arena for over a decade. By trade, I do practice as a clinical pharmacist, but my career has changed directions as well. And my background actually comes from PBM, Pharmacy Benefits Management. And folks may or may not be familiar with PBMs, but they're essentially the organizations or the companies that are on your drug insurance card that you hand over at the pharmacy, and they manage your drug benefits. And so my role within that area had been very clinical, far removed from the day-to-day of managing and establishing and enforcing claims and benefits. Actually, my role was hospice and palliative care within PBM for a good period of time. And then after sort of getting to a point where I was mastering that role, I switched over to a different PBM company and quickly learned about the diversity of potential applications of a pharmacist degree in that area, and also learned that there's a lot of confusion and a lot of misalignment between what patients and what consumers experience at the pharmacy versus what they might imagine their benefits would be, and even how my pharmacist colleagues are able to operate or practice within a pharmacy setting. All this to say is I ended up recognizing this discordance and this confusion, and have been wanting to make a documentary about pharmacy and these intricacies and these layers for a while. And so I stepped out of the PBM pharmacist role to help Anais and her team create the story, tell the story, to reveal what's going on and why there's this confusion and why the system is failing and not working, and ultimately to find solutions. And so that is the main reason my career has taken the turn that it has, is to help find the solution by telling the story. Or part of the solution by telling the story.
So from the retail side, as customers, we see things like pharmacies going away. All the Bi-Marts have closed their pharmacies. Some of the entire Rite Aid stores have closed in Oregon as the company enters bankruptcy. Fewer pharmacies, it seems the same or growing number of prescriptions. How much do you attribute this, since you worked on the PBM side, to the pharmacy benefit managers?
In my opinion, I think it has a lot to do with how the PBM business is structured and how corporate pharmacy chains are structured and how contracts are negotiated. There's a lot to be reviewed and investigated. And I would say at a very high level, I think whether it's intentional or unintentional, there's a lot that PBMs and the way their business practices have impacted pharmacies and ultimately the patient and their ability to receive care, access care, and afford it.
We are talking to the co-producers and director and co-director of the forthcoming documentary film Pharmacy, about changes in the pharmaceutical industry. Both of our guests are pharmacist doctors, Kristen Speer and Anais Webster-Minuti. And if you have questions or comments for our guests, get them in fast to jx@jeffnet.org. So it sounds like, from a lot of the stuff that I noticed on the sizzle reel, Anais, that it's kind of like hell behind the pharmacy counter.
It gets a little chaotic back there, for lack of better terms. It can be chaotic back there.
Now, one of the things that you mentioned is 700 prescriptions a day getting filled by the place you started at. What are the numbers like now? I mean, the sizzle reel you put out shows several sets of numbers. How many steps does every script go through from intake to customer checkout?
It sounds like there are two questions there. I can answer the first one about numbers of prescriptions per pharmacy. It is very dependent on where you are. So some pharmacies are filling over 1,000 a day. I've worked in stores where the pharmacy is filling over 1,000 a day. And then there's some where it's lower numbers. You're filling 200 or 300 a day. And so you have different staffing depending on what level of prescriptions that you're filling. So it's very variable depending on where you are. And then as far as the steps go to fill a prescription, when you come to there's steps that are directly tied to filling that prescription. Plus there's a lot of other things that the pharmacy has to do to support the filling of that prescription. So for example, a prescription comes over from a doctor's office, say it's electronically prescribed, or someone comes up to the counter with a prescription, then usually a technician, but sometimes a pharmacist if they're working alone, enters the information into the computer from the doctor's office and makes sure that is the first check on the making sure that all of the legal requirements are met on the prescription. It's a legitimate prescription, and that the prescription is something that makes sense, so that you're, for example, if you're getting an antibiotic, that the number of pills that is written on the prescription is going to get you through your whole antibiotic therapy. And so that's the first step, getting it into the computer. Then after that, it goes to insurance adjudication. So that's the billing portion. Okay, is this prescription going to be covered by the patient's insurance? Does it need a prior authorization or any number of insurance type of, for lack of a better term, issues that need to be addressed or not? Sometimes it just goes through just fine. It's paid for. And once it gets through that step, it goes to, I'm also just speaking high level, there's a lot of nuances from chain to chain and from store to store when it comes to these specific steps. But then the next step would be the pharmacist would review it for clinical accuracy. So making sure that the dose is appropriate, there aren't drug interactions, and that the prescription is going to be safe for the patient to take. And that's supported by the software that helps the pharmacist with some of those decisions. And then the pharmacist ultimately uses their clinical knowledge to say, okay, the drug interactions that are flagging, they are either safe for this patient to take with a little bit of counseling, letting them know what the interaction is versus having to call the doctor in for a potential change of medication therapy because it's unsafe for that patient to take. So once it clears that step, then it goes to be filled, usually by a pharmacy technician, sometimes by a pharmacist. And after that, the pharmacist verifies that the correct medication is in the bottle, and then it is put out to be sold by someone working the register, and then the pharmacist will talk to the patient about the medication if it is a new prescription or if there's any changes on that medication. So that's very high level. However, if you are the only person in the store and you are doing all of those steps, that's only one set of eyes throughout that entire process. Also, there's a lot going on while this person is doing it. So the phones are ringing. So you are fielding patient questions and questions from doctor's offices. And those are very important phone calls. And so it's a disservice if the staff is not able to answer the phone, because those are people who need assistance from the pharmacy team as well. And so then you have to be receiving the order. You have to get the medications into the store. So those have to be stocked. You have to make sure things on the shelf are in date, so they're not out of, they're not expired. So you're making sure your stock isn't expired. You are keeping track of your controlled substance inventory. If you are the pharmacy manager, you are hiring staff. You are coaching them, writing schedules. I won't go into, there's a lot of other things, but I won't go into too much detail, but that's just a high level of what's going on in the pharmacy.
Wow. Thanks for the capsule description. And yes, I did ask two questions and you got them both answered though. Where do you stand? I mean, we talked about getting the financing together. Do you have most of the interviews you think you'll need for this, Anais?
We do. That's the exciting part. We've had a really extensive development process. So we have been speaking with a lot of people. And so we've talked to hundreds of people and spent hundreds of hours on Zoom doing a lot of conversations. Some of our interviews will be conducted entirely over Zoom and some will be done in person, but we have pretty close contact with the majority of folks that we want to interview as far as the pharmacist side, some people on the patient side. The one area that we would like to bolster, and we like to say this on every podcast or segment that we do, is we do want to talk to folks from the pharmacy benefit manager side and the chain corporate retail side. So we would love to talk to C-suite vice presidents, high-level executives at this company, because we want this to be a well-rounded piece that shows that side of the story. We want to hear what their take is on what's going on in the pharmacy industry. So that is a piece that we're spending a lot of time trying to develop at this time.
Okay, so some work ahead still, and certainly to secure some more funding for this as well. The project is called Harmacy. It's pharmacy without the H, and to look into what's going on with pharmacies around the country. Dr. Anais Webster Manuti lives and works in the Eugene area. Thank you so much for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you for having us.
Dr. Kristen Speer, other pharmacist, writer, director, producer, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You bet.